Welcome to the Queer Confidence Podcast, the podcast to help you become your most confident queer self. I'm your host, he, she, they, Coach Alex Ray, and I haven't always been this confident. In fact, I used to be super insecure. And through this show, I want to share with you what's worked for me, my clients, and my guests so that you can become more confident. What's up, my unicorns? How are you doing? Today, we are going to be talking about fake versus real confidence. And we're going to look at it on this kind of binary today, because confidence truly is actually more of a spectrum with multiple different levels, different stages that you go through. But today, we're going to look at it on this binary, fake versus real, because it's much easier to, when you're first starting out, to learn things on a binary, to keep it simpler. And I mean, we know how hard it is to get people to understand that there is a spectrum, don't we? No one knows that better than the LGBTQIA plus community. Come on. So I'm going to teach this concept to you today on this fake versus real concept. And then I do want to record an episode at a later date, probably in a month or two, on the stages of confidence. To be honest, the stages of confidence are something that I just developed today. So I want to let them cook a little longer, but I'm going to give you a preview of them at the end of the episode. When I thought of it, I went, oh, wow, hold on. This is so clear. Of course, it's just like right there in front of me. But I've never written it out before. So you're going to get a preview of that for the first time at the end of the episode. But what is fake confidence? What is real confidence? And how do we know the difference? And the reason I originally thought of recording this episode is because I've encountered where there is this confusion about confidence versus arrogance. And sometimes people that don't know our struggle of struggling with our view of ourselves, our self-love, our self-worth, etc. Sometimes when they hear that word confidence, they think it's cockiness or arrogance. And you and I know that what we're talking about here is not becoming cocky or arrogant. That's not your goal. You want to get to the point where you really, truly love yourself, where you see yourself worth, where you mess up and it's okay, where you don't abandon yourself. You have your own back, right? So, and you want to be going and doing and achieving the things that you'd like to do without so much fear. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about confidence. But so if we boil it down, confidence is that reflection of self-worth or self-love. Arrogance, however, comes from fear. Arrogance is rooted in low self-worth, low self-esteem, low self-love. Because arrogance oftentimes, you know, when you think of somebody that's arrogant, I'm sure you can think of at least one person in your life. And when you're thinking of that arrogant person, they are not very kind to you, right? And we often treat other people in a way that is similar or at least reflective of how we treat ourselves internally. And I want to clarify that because there's two different ways that can play out. Okay. So one way is if we truly love ourselves, if we really care about ourselves, we provide a lot of space and room for other people to be fully themselves, right? So that in that way, it's very similar. The way we're treating other people externally is the same that we're treating ourselves internally. On the other hand, you can also have what I had and what maybe you're struggling with is that deep people-pleasing habit. And I still find myself, I think I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I still find myself people-pleasing sometimes today. Just not as frequently as I used to, but it's like a lifelong journey to overcoming that, right? So people pleasing usually comes from, hey, I already see myself as so low, my self-worth is so low, that of course what I think doesn't matter and what other people think is more important, or other people's feelings or needs are always more important. And so in that way, you're treating somebody in the total opposite, a reflection, if you will, of the way you treat yourself internally. Low self-worth for myself, high worth for other people. So either way, though, it's always revealing how you're treating and thinking about yourself. Both, what I wanted to just point out with that was, in both cases, you are elevating and caring for other people. But in one sense, it when you're experiencing that people pleasing rooted in deep insecurity and low self-worth, you're caring for other people in order to escape yourself. Versus in confidence, when you give other people room to be themselves, you're encouraging, you're helping, whatever, it can sometimes look similar because you might be doing things that are caring for other people's needs and wants and desires, but it doesn't ever come at a sacrifice to your own needs. And you are still thriving with them. Versus people pleasing usually has you suffering in favor of somebody else feeling good. You can tell the difference by look in fake versus real confidence. Okay, so let's get back on track with that. Fake versus real confidence. You can tell the difference by looking at the amount of vulnerability that it takes you or takes another person. You can recognize fake or real confidence in other people. Fake being the arrogance, cockiness, etc. So what that'll look like is there room here for vulnerability? Is there room here for me to be wrong? If I'm actually confident, I allow room for me to be wrong. I allow room for other people to speak. Versus arrogance, which would be, I'm right. This is the way it is. Full steam ahead. The vulnerability would be, you know, I could be wrong. I might still have something to learn here. And sometimes I'm really frustrated. I'm really lost here. I don't know what to do, and I don't have a good answer. It's not always looking strong. That steel door, I don't know why I picked a door, but a steel door, unmovable, unshakable, though it might look similar to confidence, if there's no give and no sight of any type of imperfection, that's not true confidence. So if vulnerability is the litmus test for how confident you are, let's take a look at what stages you might go through and the level of vulnerability, because you can also be fake vulnerable. So there's four different stages that you kind of go through with, or four different stages of vulnerability as the evidence of confidence. The first one is no vulnerability, so arrogance. The next one is a stage of fake vulnerability, which is fear, kind of testing the waters maybe a little bit. Then there's some vulnerability, which is more when you're exploring and testing the waters a little bit more. And then there is full-on actual vulnerability without much conscious effort. And that is evidence of really being confident. So let's back up here a minute. Arrogance, no vulnerability, we know that. But fear, kind of testing the waters a little bit, and this fake vulnerability, that is something that you might be doing, and you're not even realizing it, because I certainly was. So fake vulnerability. Oh, and let me be fully honest there. I still catch myself doing it sometimes too. So fake vulnerability is that calculated vulnerability. So what this looked like for me was, hey, I can share some stories on Instagram that most people would be afraid of sharing. Stories like my experience with suicide and depression. I'm not afraid to share that story. Like, not at all. Is that vulnerable? Absolutely. But I didn't really feel scared at all sharing it. And I did definitely share that story sometimes, and other similar, like, deep stories that most people would expect it to be take like a lot of bravery for me to share, and it didn't. I had no problem sharing these things, but I knew that it would look like I was being open and vulnerable and allowing people to see a deeper side to me. However, it was something that I had worked through already in a very healthy way, and it was polished. It was not really the full vulnerable version. It was the version I was fine with sharing. Now, before you get carried away there, I think that there are definitely some things, such as my story of suicide, that, you know, I needed to be able to get in a place where I processed it through before I shared it. That's not a bad thing. I'm not suggesting that you go expose your guts to the world. In fact, that probably isn't like a wise thing to do frequently. Just, here is this, you know, horrible traumatic thing I'm working on. But what I was using it for was a little bit of validation. Here I am sharing something that sounds really tough to share, and it wasn't. And so I've seen other people, and I've worked with clients before, that realized they were doing the same thing, where you are sharing something that sounds very vulnerable, but you're doing it in a way that's very calculated and actually doesn't put you in any risk at all. So that's not really vulnerability. And again, not everything, you don't have to share the, you know, not everything has to be this vulnerable story with the world. I don't think it would have been appropriate for me to share my story before having worked through it enough in therapy. Okay. So that first kind of step beyond the zero vulnerability would be the fake vulnerability. Then there's that stage of some vulnerability. Okay. So you start exploring it a little bit. You start mixing some fake vulnerable moments with actual vulnerable moments. Actual vulnerable moments scare you a little bit, right? They require bravery. They require courage. They require you to be willing to be uncomfortable. And that's why I say the fake vulnerability doesn't really require you to be uncomfortable at all. In fact, the story just might make other people uncomfortable, and they think that you might have been uncomfortable sharing it as well. But you start mixing in this exploring stage, you start mixing some actual vulnerable moments. Maybe with some close friends, you start actually sharing, okay, here's something that I really don't have the answers to, that I haven't fully worked out yet. And that can also be in a relationship with your therapist or life coach, where you used to only share things with them that you had already figured out the answer to. now you're actually sharing things with them that you really do need and want help with because you don't have the answer already figured out yourself. That's that stage of exploring and actually having real vulnerability. And then you have the final stage of where there's vulnerability without much conscious effort. In that exploring stage, you're still kind of calculating sometimes. And here, let me let it slip in a little bit here and there, like true, real vulnerability. But having true vulnerability, where, yes, you are sharing things that you don't have the answers to in appropriate settings that, yes, you feel comfortable in, but also you know you don't have the answer calculated before you shared it. And that is what real vulnerability is. And that is true evidence of real confidence. It doesn't require you to take a lot of thought, right? It's fairly automatic versus that exploring stage that's just before this might take a little more conscious effort. So I wanted to give you those kind of stages of vulnerability because those are the ways that vulnerability, the four ways that vulnerability can show up in your life or in other people that you're observing, right? Those are the ways that vulnerability can show up in your life that are evidence of where you are in your journey. And it's okay to be in any of those stages. Just recognize where you are and have some understanding and care for yourself. Oh, hey, that's interesting. I noticed that I'm fake vulnerable a lot. Well, maybe I want to start actually practicing true, real vulnerability. And I'm going to start practicing that by approaching some conversations with a trusted professional, a trusted friend, where I can really actually admit that I don't have the answer to something. And then after that stage, you'll be able to go into that place of being vulnerable without calculating it. And that's that stage. That's the evidence that you really are in that stage of true confidence. Brené Brown talks about vulnerability and courage a lot. And if you aren't familiar with Brené's work, you should absolutely look her up. She has two amazing TED Talks, several fantastic books. I haven't read them yet, but I'm going to. They are on my list. But we'll put the links in the show notes for the TED Talks that she has done. They're on YouTube and they're fantastic. They're some of the most popular TED Talks ever. And she talks about vulnerability and courage and how vulnerability is needed for courage. And I think that it relates so strongly to confidence as well, because courage is part of confidence. When you are truly confident, when you're truly loving yourself, you have more courage to be your full authentic self, to not have this filter. And so vulnerability and courage, of course, go hand in hand because, again, just like I described in its relationship, vulnerability's relationship to confidence, vulnerability is evidence of somebody actually having true courage. You must be courageous in order to also be vulnerable. So go check that out if you haven't already. It's fantastic. Another way to just give yourself a quick little test of your response, of how you're showing up, of the decisions that you make, is to just ask yourself, how did it feel? And if it felt defensive, it was probably arrogance or insecurity, right? If you thought you were being brave, thought you were being courageous, but you were feeling defensive, it wasn't confidence because you were defending yourself from any kind of external attack because you didn't want it to confirm your still existing self-doubts. And that's okay. I think it's a continuing lifelong journey in that way, that you're always going to catch yourself sometimes, that was more defensive than it was truthful, that probably I might have a little work to do there. I really don't feel confident in that area. On the other hand, if it feels a little bit like jumping with a parachute, it's confidence. There's a little bit within confidence, there's a little bit of fear, but a willingness to go through it. That's bravery. Bravery is experiencing fear and being willing to go through it. But you also are going to have your own back. That's that parachute. And confidence includes that jump with a parachute. I've got myself. I don't have all the answers. It's okay to not have all the answers. I'm not going to abandon myself. It's okay to try this thing and to fail, because it's okay. I'm not going to abandon myself. I'm going to be with myself anyway. I want to read you a message that I got from somebody recently. He's a client that shared some just an amazing text with me. He said, "I realize I don't hate where I am. I hate who I am. And that's a good starting point. I could be just as happy here as anywhere else. I've been chasing a dream of, quote, if only I lived here or there, I'd be happier, end quote. But truth be told, I'd still be the same person, and it doesn't matter where I am. This was so eye-opening. I've convinced myself I'm so unhappy that I have to leave to be happy, fight or flight. It's time to stop running and to start looking inside the traumas I'm holding on to. It's so insane, and thank you so much for everything. I always hear your voice when I try to figure things out. I love you, friend." I love you too. And I want you all to think about that within your own journey to confidence right now. It is such a profound realization when you realize that you've been trying to change external things, you've been trying to do things, you've been trying to earn things, you've been trying to reach a certain status, you've been trying to become X, Y, Z, or go there, instead of realizing that none of those things at all can ever affect your confidence. The only thing that can is changing the relationship you have with yourself. Whether you are hating yourself, like this person and I have been in the past, or you are just sort of at that place of, I'm okay, but really not that good. Maybe it's not a full-on hate. That is what must heal. That is what you must address in order for you to become confident. I want to give you a little taste of those 7 stages of confidence. Now, I might refine these a little bit when I do the longer episode on them. So if they change a little bit, don't get too worried. But these just poured out of my head as I was writing the notes for this podcast. So I want to give them to you here. And I want you to also, before I tell you them, I want you to also know that they aren't perfectly linear. You might experience kind of multiple different stages in different orders through your journey. This first stage is zero confidence, insecurity, fear, no self-worth, no self-love. Then you move to awareness and you start becoming aware, like this client had said, becoming aware of your own thoughts, and you may also experience fear of those thoughts. You may start fearing the way that you think about yourself or what you're going to think about yourself if something happens. The stage after that is often self-judgment. and you start judging yourself for having these thoughts. Because once you realize that they are thoughts that you have about yourself, you start judging yourself for having them, which is counterproductive, because then you go back to beating yourself up, knocking down your self-worth, and therefore also knocking down your confidence. It's okay. These are the stages that happen. Just want you to realize as you do them, what's going on here, okay? Then we have understanding, which is less self-judgment. You're aware, but you're understanding. Then comes pushing. You slip out of being present and you start forcing. You start trying too hard. It also, often in this stage, you're lacking true vulnerability. You're pushing in order to, hey, I know now how to create my thoughts on purpose and therefore be confident and show up confidently, but you almost do it in this very calculated way again. Then there's acceptance, staying with yourself and not abandoning yourself as you realize that these patterns are coming up and you realize these thoughts are coming up. Before, you might have had some self-judgment. Now you're actually having full acceptance. You're staying with yourself. It's like that parachute when you jump. And sometimes in this stage, you can start actually feeling like you're doing it wrong because you feel a little bit lower here. Because you are experiencing, because you're not running and you're not buffering, you're not using Netflix or Grindr or, a little hookup with whoever at the bar. Because you're not using those things to distract yourself anymore, you are experiencing a full range of emotions and you're staying with yourself. And so sometimes in this stage, you're like, holy shit, I'm doing it wrong. I'm going backwards because I'm feeling low again. But I want you to know that feeling low in this stage is not really a problem. It's just part of the experience. And the way that you know you're doing well here is because you have felt it and you didn't shut down and you didn't distract. You just experienced it. And then after that stage comes love and joy. Your first reaction becomes to have your own back in a non-defensive way and not escaping, but just, hey, yeah, here's me. Have my own back. And this, my friend, this is confidence. If you really enjoyed this episode, I want you to please share it with a friend so they can understand too what it means to go from fake to real confidence and what it means for them to love themselves too. Help spread this message. Let's help the queer community band together, full of true, deep self-care, self-love, self-acceptance, self-worth, so that we can all be thriving together. My friend, you are an amazing, amazing unicorn. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you on the next episode. If you enjoyed this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend so they too can become more confident. You can also help more people find the show by leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen. And if you want to become a more confident queer with support from yours truly, head to coachalexray.com or use the link down in the show notes. I'm looking forward to working with you.